very, very, very briefly, we're just going to consider one little short verse in the Bible, and it's a question that Jesus posed. This is the question. It's in Matthew 22, 42. And he asked this. He said, "What do you think about the Christ? What do you think about the Christ?" I don't know if you've ever been told things about someone and you kind of built up a picture of someone in your mind and you think you've got it right, but then you meet them and suddenly your whole view of them completely changes. I remember shortly after arriving in primary school, different people who had already been there told me about this white-haired head teacher, that he was a child hater and he was a terror. And he was to be feared above all people within the school. I think it was because they were quite naughty children that they were telling me this, and that's how they'd found him. But one day, he asked me to come to his office, and I just remember feeling sick in the pit of my stomach and trembling, holding back the tears as I went into his office. But thankfully, I was a teacher's pet, and actually, he gave me a sweet and said, "Well done, Owen," and smiled at me like some lovely old grandfather figure and patted me on the head. And after a few encouraging words, sort of sent me on my way. And my whole view of Mr. Andrews changed from that point onwards. Well, if you don't know Jesus this morning, if you're not yet born again of his Holy Spirit, if you haven't encountered him, really met him, then it's almost certain that you've got wrong thoughts about him. This morning, as we answer that question, what do you think about Jesus? We're going to be looking at some of the wrong thoughts that exist, common wrong thoughts about Jesus. And maybe these are thoughts that you have about him. And then we're going to consider the thoughts of those who know him. What is it that they think of this Jesus because they know him? And it's important you get this right because the Bible makes clear, Jesus made clear, that your eternal future hinges on how you relate to Jesus. So some wrong thoughts. Here are some wrong thoughts. You know, there were many wrong thoughts about Jesus when he was alive on earth. And now that he's in heaven, there are still many wrong thoughts about who he is and what he's like. Thoughts of some people about the Lord Jesus Christ, this child who was born in a manger, whose birthday we are celebrating today, they're just plain blasphemous. Plain blasphemous. They just will not accept his divinity. They disregard the countless miracles that he performed, so that even his enemies wrote about these miracles, because they couldn't deny what they were seeing in front of their eyes. And they're recorded at length in so many writings. But they just dismiss that, even though they are shouting out to you that he is divine. He is God made man. They also refuse to take on board and listen to the fact that there are countless prophecies about Jesus, written long before he was born, and describing in detail what would happen in his life. And they're not things that you can just make up and think, oh, I read this prophecy, I'm now going to emulate that to try and fulfill it. They're things like, you know, the lame are going to walk and leap for joy. The blind are going to see, the deaf are going to hear. You can't replicate that. But they dismiss those prophecies fulfilled. And so they have blasphemous thoughts and reject the truth that Jesus is God. Others tell us that he ought to be ranked with the great philosophers, but no higher than that. They have these low thoughts of Jesus, even though the difference between the Lord Jesus Christ and anyone else who has ever lived on the face of the earth is greater than the difference between the sun in the sky and one of those little candles that you've got at home. They just will not see it and will not accept it. They have these low thoughts of who Jesus is. Just a teacher, they say. You know, nothing can account for Christ except that he is who he said he is, the Son of the living God, through whom the universe and you were made. The thoughts of some people about Christ are just vague and dim and a bit misty and indistinct. You know, they haven't made up their minds. Even though the truth of what he said still stands, that we are all dying, immortal souls. You will all live forever somewhere. And yet, where you spend your eternity hinges on your getting Jesus right, understanding really who he is, coming to know him as he really is, your Savior. Nonetheless, they remain in these indistinct thoughts about him and won't explore any further. But you need to find out who he really is. And others think that if they do their best and live moral lives and, well, at the end, you know, Christ will deal mercifully with them at the end of their days. You know, if they just put just enough goodness into their life and, you know, don't do anything too heinous, then they'll be okay. Christ will be merciful towards them, even though that totally disregards the cross that we've just heard about. That Jesus had to die for your sins. He had to die a terrible death for your sins. The cross says you contribute nothing to your being saved. Nothing you can do can save you. Nothing at all. Only Jesus saves. Him alone. You need him and nothing else that you bring apart from your sinfulness. And even in some churches, you have those who come along to church and who think they can live as they please because, well, Christ died for sinners. And so they might lie, might cheat, might steal, might get drunk, might live in any way that is not pleasing to Jesus and think that, well, you know, I can do this because, well, Jesus died for sinners. Well, that's true, he died for sinners, but not when you say it like that. That's making Christ the patron of sin. That's a wrong thought of Jesus. You need to come humbly for the forgiveness you need. Just a question this morning. Are you ready to believe just about anything about Jesus, this one who's we are celebrating, rejoicing over this morning, anything apart from the simple truth that he is who he said he was, that he still is the Son of God, the one through whom the universe was made, the one who died for sinners, who rose again from the grave, and who is alive forevermore, and will one day come again and take those of us who know him to be with him where he is. Will you just do accept anything apart from that? Well, I don't know if you've ever been to a parents' evening and you've come away thinking, do you know what? Yeah, that teacher knows my child. They've got it right. You know, whenever we go to a parents' evening, they generally kind of know our children. They've got it right. But they're very good. They're very clear about who your child is. What we're going to do now is as we go through some right thoughts about who Jesus really is, I'm hoping that those of you who are born again this morning, those of you who do know Jesus, that you'll be able to say at the end, yes, that is my Savior. That is my King. That's the one who loves me and who I know. But those of you who don't know him, I pray that you'd listen in and that maybe this will set right your thoughts about Jesus. So, lastly, the right thoughts of Christians about Jesus Christ. You know, there are very few who actually know who he really is in the world. Jesus said this. He said, "Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it." There are only few who really know who he is. And you who are true Christians this morning, you have high thoughts of Jesus, this baby who we are celebrating today. You see in that little manger a wondrous person. You see in that baby someone who is far above anybody else in all of creation, in his nature. He is not only the Almighty God who is able to save you to the uttermost, but he is also perfect man who knows you, who understands your frailties, your weaknesses, your stumblings, and who sympathizes with you. You see in him the all-powerful Redeemer. You see him who has paid your countless debts to God, and who has delivered your souls from guilt and from hell. You see in him your rescuer, the one who shed his precious blood on the cross. You know, greater love has no man than this, than that he should lay down his life for his friends. And in Jesus, you see your greatest friend, the one who laid down his life for you. And you rejoice in that. He not only lived for you and died for you, but he rose again for you as well, so that you might be saved, not just now, not just tomorrow, but forever and ever and ever. Even when you pass beyond the veil from this life into the next world, as you all must. And so you know that your sins really are removed, that on that day, when you come before the Lord Jesus Christ, when you see him again, face to face, now as judge, you know that there will be no condemnation for you, because he has paid for every last one of your sins, including those committed this morning, those committed tomorrow. You know you are safe in him, and you rejoice in that, and you delight in him, because you know he loves you with a love that is incomparable in its riches and its wonder and glory. You know, you look to him every day for fresh mercy. You lean your souls upon him, and you find in him a rock of strength. No matter what the world throws at you, no matter what trials you've gone through this year, no matter what troubles you have seen, no matter what's coming next year, you know that you are standing on a rock that cannot be moved. And you are safe and you are secure in this wonderful risen Saviour whose birth we rejoice in. And you cling to him by faith each day. You know, you find that every day he gives you fresh mercy, fresh grace, comfort, healing, strength. And just like Israel that kind of followed that pillar of cloud and fire through the wilderness, so you find in Jesus this wonderful guidance throughout your whole life. He is your shepherd who loves you, lay down his life for you, and guides you from one day to the next. You know that he loves you, and you love him. Not only that, you experience him. That's the amazing thing as well. These are not just things you know in your head. Because you have met him, because he has placed his spirit within you, because of that day when you repented, when you asked for forgiveness, you remember coming into his kingdom, and you remember what it was to be completely washed clean, and his spirit came into you so that you really know him. So it's not just in your head. You have tried him. You have tasted. You've experienced this wonderful king. You know, going back to that head teacher, when I met him, I realized he was different to what I'd heard about him. And you found in Jesus one who was beyond anything you could have imagined beforehand, anything you had heard about him. You found in him your God, your all, your wonderful friend. And you love belonging to him, you love his people, you love his commands, you love his book, the Bible, you delight in it, and his love for you just lightens everything. That is how it is for you this morning as God's children, as his people. And you're a bit like, you remember Mr. Standfast in Pilgrim's Progress? And he's standing there on the edge of the river, and he's about to cross over from this life to the next. And this is what he says. He says, I have loved to hear my Lord spoken of. And whenever I have seen the print of his shoe in the earth, then I have coveted to put my foot in it, to step over it. What's more, you know that beyond this life, you're going to receive far more from this little baby who was born, who is now seated at the right hand of God the Father, risen, almighty creator, you know that beyond this life, when you go to be with him and when you see him as he is, you shall receive more than all the riches you've already enjoyed and experienced in him. And so you rejoice deep within your spirits with an inexpressible joy you cannot put into words sometimes. It is just so overwhelming that this king is with you. You feel his presence. You know him near you. You experience his love. And you know that that future that awaits you is just wonderful and beyond compare. My dear friends, these thoughts about Jesus are the property of all true Christians. You know, some of you know them more and some of you know them less, and you don't always find them equally fresh in your minds. They're not always as green as they should be, but, you know, they might have their winter and their low tide as well as their high tide and their summer. But all of you, when you hear these things, recognize that is my Savior who bled and died for me on the cross. That's the lover of my soul. That's the one who this morning I just celebrate, rejoice in, and delight over. And he delights over you, and he loves you with an everlasting love. So just in closing, what do you think of Christ this Christmas? You know, what others think about him isn't the question. You know, their wrong thoughts about him aren't going to be an excuse for you. Their right thoughts about him aren't going to save you. The important thing is, what do you think of Jesus? Who do you say he is? And if you have put off that question, then I'd just plead with you. I would earnestly plead with you to not put it off any longer. This Christmas, may it be a starting point in your soul's journey to coming to know the truth about why you are here on this earth. Who made you? Who you are, and who you need more than any other. May it be this Christmas that you answer that question with, yes, Lord, you are my Savior. I've committed my sins to you, and you have forgiven me, and I know your nearness. May it be this Christmas, if it hasn't happened yet, when you come to know that he is the Christ, the Savior of the world, the Savior of you.